We're going to have Paul, our vicar, come and speak to us now and share some thoughts with us. He's going to join me on screen. Hello, Paul. Oh, and Jackie too. Yeah.
Now, that will become clear why in a minute.
Let me just pray for you, Paul, and then you can talk to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul and for Jackie. Thank you for the way they lead us as a church family in wisdom. Thank you that they follow your spirit closely. And I pray this morning, as Paul comes to share some thoughts with us, that you would speak through him to us. Would you soften our hearts and our ears to hear whatever you want to say to us as individuals this morning? Bless them deeply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning again, everybody. And you all did so well with getting those red items. And I think we probably did get a winner. Daniel Jenkins came in with 15. That was just one short of Jesse and Raffi, but there were two of them. So well done, Daniel. And of course, the Lowe's, we're told, got 21. So amazing. But there are three of them. So, but that's a great effort. And Faye Price, I think, just happened to notice she was sitting on the red sofa. So well done, everybody. And I hope the kids are still with us, because I need your help. I've got my glamorous assistant with me who's going to help me. And we're going to address a question before we have our Bible reading. And it's a question, what's inside? And I've got five objects I'm going to hold up in front of the screen. Hopefully everybody will be able to see. And I would like you to begin posting. And again, I'm really sorry. I know that not everybody can use Facebook and therefore can't join in with this. I'm really aware of that. But just to make it easy for us this morning, if you are able to post on Facebook, five items. And the question is, what's inside? So the first one is an egg. What's inside the egg? And then we've got some cereal. We've got a cereal box. So again, the question is, what's inside? So number one, an egg. Number one, a cereal. Number three is one of my rather nice hats. Can you see that? Hopefully. So number three is a hat. And then you probably all know I play a lot of tennis. So what might be inside? That's upside down, isn't it? What might be? Gosh, this is really tricky. What might be inside? A tennis ball. And finally, what might be inside this? Okay. So let's get some answers coming in. Els is saying for the egg, there's going to be yolk. Noah's saying the same as well. The generates, of course, yolk and white. So let's just have a little bit. Here's the egg, and we'll see what's inside it. Thank you. Yeah, okay, here we go. One, two, three. Oh, I can't break it. Gosh, it's rather strong. Oh, I'm afraid there's nothing inside the egg. Oh, dear, that's a disappointment. Okay, what's in the cereal? So let's, if you can see me, open the cereal box. Did anybody put, somebody put Shreddies? Somebody put cereal. Let's have a go. So that's the box open. Well, it did shake nicely. Let's pour it out. What's there, Jackie? Can everybody see?
Jigsaw puzzle pieces.
Well, that's strange. It's not Shreddies. It's a jigsaw.
Well,
let's put that to one side. What was in the hat now? Somebody's already guessed this. Yeah, Mervyn had a good one. And my glamorous assistants will now reveal what's in the hat. What do you expect to be pulled from a hat?
Whee!
It's a rabbit. Well done, Mervyn, who got that one. Excellent, as did Sarah. The hat in the rabbit. Right, where are we now? The tennis ball. Now, I've got my dad's old penknife. Tennis balls are notoriously hard to cut open. So this may take a bit of time, but at least it'll allow you to... Oh, there we go. So we're in. Well, let's have a look what might be inside. Jackie, hold out your hands. A tennis ball.
Oh!
What is it?
Goodness me.
That's a funny thing.
A necklace.
Okay. So, oh gosh, we've got loads of good things. Richard Hill apparently says there should have been nitrogen inside the tennis ball. So maybe when Jackie puts the necklace on, it'll smell again. And finally... We've got these look rather delicious, Jackie. Would you like some of these?
I'd love some nuts. I love nuts.
Brilliant. Whoa! Oh, right. Well, that wasn't quite what we were expecting.
Wow.
Thank you to my glamorous assistant. Could we have a silent virtual round of applause, please, for my glamorous assistant? So that's the question, what's inside? And that's a question we're going to be thinking about very briefly this morning. And over the summer series in our live streams, we're going to be looking at the life of David, one of the heroes of the Old Testament. Now, David was king of Israel, and he lived about 1,000 years before Jesus. And that means the story we're about to enter today is almost 3,000 years old. That's a very, very old story. You can find it if you want to read it later in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, Samuel, whose name is given to the book, he was a prophet, but not just a prophet. He was actually, for quite a long period, he was the leader of God's people, Israel. He was the leader before God's people decided that they wanted to be like every other country around them, like all the other peoples, and have their own king. So Israel's first king, many of you all know this, was called Saul, but he wasn't a good king. I wonder what you think might make a good king. Well, oddly enough, what made Saul a bad king wasn't any of the things he could do. He was pretty good at fighting. He was a pretty good soldier. It wasn't about what he could do. It was all about who he was, what we call character. It was all about the person he was inside, the way he thought of himself as being a little bit more important than other people, the way he viewed and treated other people. And when the Bible talks about character, what we're really like inside, when the Bible asks the question of a human being, a boy, a girl, or a man, or a woman, what's inside, the Bible uses the word heart, which is why at the end of the hunt for Andy and Katie, Andy held up a heart today. So God told Samuel that he had chosen a new king, and it was Samuel's job to anoint him as king. Now, God didn't give Samuel a name. He just told him a family, a man called Jesse. And God said to Samuel, one of his sons is going to be the next king. Now, I just want you very quickly, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to do this. If you're in a household with somebody else, I want you to arrange yourself in age order. Okay, so the oldest on one end of the line and the youngest on the other. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds to do that. 30 seconds from now. Okay, everybody, well done. I hope that's all been easy. So you're now in order of age. So when Samuel arrived at Jesse's house, not surprisingly, Samuel was so important. He would have been one of the biggest celebrities of his day. Jesse was very keen that Samuel should meet his elder son. He was called Eliab. And I don't know whether Jesse understood what was going to happen, but he wanted Eliab to make a good impression. And he did. And Samuel looked at Eliab, the oldest, and thought, wow, he's got to be the one. I bet he's going to be the next king. And then God said something really interesting. And you can read this in verse 7. God said to Samuel, don't consider his appearance or his height, for I don't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. And we saw how true that is in those things earlier. We saw an egg, but actually we weren't able to tell that inside it was empty. We saw a tennis ball, but we had no idea there'd have been a necklace in it, and so on. Now, Jesse had another 6 sons that he brought for Samuel to have a look at, and God said no to each one. So after that had been 7, Samuel had to say to Jesse, well, are there any more? And Jesse said, well, there's the young lad, the youngest of all, but he's out looking after the sheep. That shows you what Jesse thought of David. Of course, David is brought in, and many of you will know the story. David was the one that God had chosen to be the king. And he chose him not because of the way he looked or because of the things he could do, but because of his heart, what he was like inside. God is always asking the question when he looks at human beings, when he looks at you, when he looks at me, whether you're young or old, God's question is always, what's inside? And this is one of the most important questions we can ever ask and answer. What am I really like inside? Am I selfish or am I self-giving? Inside, am I honest or deceitful? Inside, am I faithful or fickle? Fickle's a strange word, isn't it? It just means, am I somebody who keeps their word, their promises? Am I somebody who's a loyal friend? Or am I somebody who breaks my promises and maybe turns my back on friends? Am I kind-hearted or hard-hearted? Am I generous or mean? I used to tell our children when they were growing up that doing well at school was a great thing to do. Doing well in exams was great if you can do that. But it's not everything. It's never the most important thing. The things we do and the things that we can show may help us get in, but it's what's inside that helps us get on in life. It's what's inside that people really want to know about. They want to know whether they can trust us. They want to know whether they can depend upon us for support when they are in need. And most important of all, the question, when God looks inside me, and when God says, what's inside, is part of my answer that I have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, that inside I have put my trust and faith in Jesus. And when God hears that answer to the question, what's inside, when God finds people who have or are willing to put their faith in his son Jesus and his death on the cross, then he actually sends his Holy Spirit to help us, so that if we maybe are a little bit hard-hearted, the Holy Spirit comes to make us more kind-hearted. If our instinct, for whatever reason, is to be a little bit selfish, then the Holy Spirit comes to make us more self-giving. If we can be a little bit fickle, liable to be disloyal or to break our promises, the Holy Spirit comes to help us be faithful. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes to make us more like Jesus, because that's so important for the people around us, our family members, our neighbors, the people we work with, the people we go to school with, the people we have fun with, that actually they need our inside to be more and more like Jesus. And it's one of the great things when people can look at us, and maybe when they see the outside, and they know that we call ourselves a Christian. They might know that we go to church. They might know that we read the Bible. They might know that we believe things about God. But then what's on the inside when they get to know us? Do they open the packet and they find that it's not wholesome shreddies, other cereals are available, but something else? What happens when people look beyond our exterior Christian life? What do they see when they ask the question, what's inside? And if you're anything like me, you really need the Holy Spirit to help you answer that question well. If you read today's passage later, you'll see that some of the last words in it are these: from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. So let's pray that for ourselves now. Let's take a moment of quiet as we think about God's question, what's inside? Let's allow the Holy Spirit to help us honestly answer the question, what's inside? Let's just take a moment of stillness to do that, and then I will pray for us. I imagine that most of us watching this either live or on catch up, at this point we'll be honest enough in the private places of our own hearts to acknowledge that the answer, what's inside, isn't always what we'd like it to be. And so this is a very simple opportunity, however young we are, however old we are, simply to say to God, I am sorry that what's inside me isn't always what you, Lord, would like to find there. I'm sorry that what's inside me isn't always what is most helpful and loving and kind to to the people I live with, to the people I meet, to the people who look to me for help. I'm sorry, Lord, that that's the reality. And I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to make me more like Jesus, so that what's inside me may be more like what's inside him. Holy Spirit, will you fill me with the heart and the character of Jesus? Will you make me kind and merciful? Will you make me gracious and compassionate? Will you make me loving and self-giving? Will you make me patient? Again, I'm just going to leave a stillness for you to make that prayer your own, as we just are honest with God about our own reality and ask him to change our hearts once again today.